This is Only We Matter Podcast. I'm Brandon.
I'm Jacqueline.
Our desire is to spark conversation of how each generation matters.
Join in on our conversation.
Well, welcome back to our conversation with Kimberly Barnes, where Jacqueline had an interview with Kimberly Barnes on her about her blog and some topics on her blog. It's a great resource for us. Jacqueline, remind us of the blog, where we can find it, and then we'll get into our topic today.
Yeah, that sounds great. The blog is written by Kimberly and Mark Barnes, and it is called The Not So Perfect Parents. And you can find them on Facebook, and they also have their own website. It's the same thing, thenotsoperfectparents.com. And just to recap, Kimberly is this very intelligent, educated, fun-loving, let's just have a great laugh together in the right moments. But she is also my cousin. And I just really value her insight into raising children in this time of our lives.
So the second topic that you talked about with Kimberly was finances. So you picked a bit. She has a few different blogs, it seems, articles on finances. And so tell us a little bit about that. Cue it up and we'll take a listen.
Yeah, so finances. She has some great ideas about finances and parenting and how to do that with children. And I am really excited to tell you an experiment that she did just recently with her children. And I am going to give that to you right after we listen to her tell us this.
Okay, well, let's talk about first how I grew up in terms of the financial situation. We did not talk about money at all when I was a kid. And part of that might have been that parents didn't realize it was a good thing to teach kids back then. And part of that might have been that we were Canadian and we just didn't talk about things like that that were private. But really, I don't think my sister and I knew anything about finances at all. I'm not sure I knew what a mortgage was, or what insurance was, or what taxes were, or debt. I just don't think I had a concept of any of that. And I think my parents probably didn't share things also because it seemed then that it was protecting your kids from information they didn't need to have. Mm. They're children, they don't need to know this. Now our mindset has shifted so much into giving our kids every skill and resource possible so they can be successful. But we didn't talk about money. I had no idea what things cost. My dad was unemployed for a time and my sister and I did not even know. And I'm sure we just kept asking for all those things we had to have, the Esprit jeans. And
oh,
the neck.
That made me laugh so much when I read that line. Esprit yes. jeans, yes. Only people from the 70s and 80s will know what those
yes,
are.
Yes, that's right. And if you got really lucky, you got to go to one of those like Esprit outlets that were like a Costco full of Esprit jeans.
Yeah, crazy.
Right. So my parents always gave us money. Like if we were going to go out after youth group with friends, they would always give us cash for that. I don't ever remember filling up my own car with gas. I did work in high school and in college, but basically Mark and I both graduated from college with almost no money sense at all. And we just hadn't picked up any of that from life. And we hadn't talked about it growing up. So, and he grew up in the Seattle area. So it's not like, oh, that was just a Canadian thing. It was just a generational thing that parents weren't talking to their kids about money. And I feel like it's kind of a missed opportunity because my dad has a ton of wisdom and information if I had only cared. So not having any experience with money and making a ton of mistakes ourselves is what kind of helped us to focus on being intentional with our kids. And it actually hasn't even been until pretty recently that we decided we better get a grip on this for ourselves and also for our kids. And so we first heard John Lanza interviewed on the Dad Edge podcast, and then we read his book, and then we reached out to John with some questions, and we ended up interviewing on his podcast recently as well. And so he teaches this concept of having three jars, spend wisely, save, and a share jar. And share can be for whatever. It could be your money that you're giving to church, or it could be for charities or any kinds of things that benefit other people. So we just call that share. It's not specifically called tithe. So our kids get the same as their age in dollars per week. So our 9-year-old would get $36 a month. And when we go to the bank, we have this list on our notes in our phones that says, okay, I need 24 ones. I need 7 5s, because we want to, they always get a chuckle out of that, but we want to give it to them already divided up into increments that can easily go in those jars. If $7 needs to go in the save jar, then we don't want them to only have a 10, or it gets messy. So we make it so that, okay, if you're $36, if 7 are going in save and 7 are going in share, then we have it all divided out for them so they can be successful with that. So the reason we want them to have money is to learn how to spend money. And that's really the only way they can learn, is to have it mean more to them because it's their own. So it's made a big difference in how they think about money. We make them think about a purchase for a week, which means our Amazon cart is full of save for later items. And a lot of times they come back after a week and they don't really want that item anymore. And there have been times when they have purchased that item and they realize quickly, like, that wasn't really the best choice. And so those lessons, we hope, will stick with them and they'll remember those the next time. And then we ask our kids to pay for half of birthday presents. So it used to be that they would go to every birthday party, because why not, if you don't have to pay a thing to go? So now they're really stopping to think about, how close of a friend is this? Do I really want to pitch in 10 bucks for the gift? And a lot of times they choose not to. And so that's awesome for us, because that means we're not as busy on the weekends going to parties, and we're also contributing less if they're not going. Well, we usually split it, $10 each. So that's been really great for them. They also are having to buy any of their own food that's outside of our home. So if we're providing dinner, then great. Dinner's here and they're welcome to eat with us, and we would enjoy that. If they choose to go to the mall with their friends, then that's on them. So it's been interesting to watch them work through that process. At first it was like, yes, I'm going to buy everything the food court has to offer. And then it was like, oh, I'm running out of money really quickly, and I could have had dinner at home and just bought ice cream at the mall. So it's been fun to watch that process happen. Our second child loves a great deal and also loves good food. And so he's constantly downloading apps to get free food and signing up with your email and get a $5 off. And I think that's great. That's the kind of stuff we do all the time. So it helps him to own it when it's his own money. And then as far as clothes go, we will buy their clothes for them and their shoes if they are like a TJ Maxx or a Ross Price. But if it's beyond that, they have to contribute. Like, I'm not just going to go buy Vans for them or
Esprit jeans.
I don't even know what those are.
Well, I think that's really great advice. And I think, too, you know, just knowing that you're the difference between your parents, you, and now your children, it is three different generational.
Right. Yeah.
Like looking, and you're improving. Like, and that's what I think at the end of the day for me personally is, I hope I'm improving on the generation that went before me.
Yes. Right.
And so that I can help improve the generation that's coming after me.
Right. Exactly. It's not about pointing out the mistakes.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like we are all doing the best we can with what we know, and things change, influences change, the kind of relationships we have with our kids changes, and it's not about blame, it's more about, well, how can I take what I grew up with and make a different experience for my kids? And they're going to do the same thing. There's going to be things that we didn't do right that they have learned from and made course changes with. And that's the goal, is that we all grow and end up still producing quality humans. So
exactly. I totally agree.
That was an interview with Kimberly Barnes and our very own Jacqueline Clements. And you guys talked about something unique that I don't know about and I need to hear. What is Esprit Jeans?
Isn't that great? We're so dating ourselves. We laughed and laughed and laughed off recording about that. So Esprit Jeans were the thing back in the 80s. They were. People just aspired to get Esprit Jeans. And they were expensive. And like, you were a cool kid if you got those.
That's so great. So she talked about money sense and being money wise and helping to teach her children to be money wise. What was one thing in the interview for you that really stood out? Was there something that she did? You mentioned that she did something new as well recently. What stood out to you that was unique?
Yeah, you know, again, this just comes back to I just really value how she is intentional about teaching her children about different things in life. And she did an experiment just recently, and I was like, why didn't I think of this? This is great. So Kimberly really likes to have a clean home. She has very specific boundaries, and because she has a big family, those boundaries need to be kept in check. And so one of the things that just drives her crazy is when the garbage needs to be taken out. And she just gets tired of doing it herself. And she's like, I have four children and I have a couple of teenagers and it's time for them to just pick up the slack. And so what she did was she had a full garbage can. She put it in the center of her kitchen and she left it there. And she thought, I wonder how long it will take for one of the kids to get tired of seeing it grow and grow and grow because they kept adding to it. See how long it takes them to take it out. It went, and I believe it was 23 hours it went sitting in the middle of the kitchen.
Okay.
And one of the children went and took it and emptied it. And when they dumped the can into the garbage outside, there was a $5 bill taped to the bottom of the trash can.
Wow.
And they got the $5.
Nice.
Yes. And I thought, why didn't I think of that? Teach them to do it. So then they thought, okay, well, let's try it again. So they tried it again a little bit later. And that garbage, the kids ran to the garbage can, lifted the garbage can up to see if there was money attached.
I didn't put it back.
And they put it back down because there was no money attached. And she's like, the true colors came out.
That's right.
But, you know, we laugh because, you know, that it's, you know, children and, yeah, we can sort of happening and all that stuff. But you know, in real life, when we go to work, we get paid. We do a job and we get paid, and that's our reward. And there's, you know, maybe true colors. I mean, the whole extenuating circumstances and what they were trying to teach, I understand that. But, you know, I mean, in grown-up life, we go to work because we get paid, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's right. No, that's really good. I found it interesting. Like, she was talking about a save for later cart on Amazon. She talked about ways to save and using jars. I know that's not a new concept to me. Here's my question for you. To go beyond that, with our kids in their day and age and the cashless society that we're in, especially in the midst of COVID-19, we were trying to avoid handling cash with people, and stores are increasing their tap limits on machines and stuff to not do interaction with touch and stuff. So my question is this: what would it look like for our next generation of kids to understand money that maybe doesn't use cash? Like, when I do my banking, it is literally numbers on a screen. A number comes to my email that I need to pay this bill, and I go to my bank account, which is just numbers, and I pay that bill, and then I get a receipt. and there's a receipt. So it's like it's very different than even, I don't know, even when I first became an adult, where I would, you know, pay my bills directly, a little more directly. What would it look like? What does that look like for me to raise my girls? I mean, I can still use cash. I think they get cash. There's something about it where, like, my daughter this morning literally went to my room and stole coins from a jar in my room.
I love her.
Was trying to hide it. And I was like, what do you have? She's like, oh, I have money. So I was like, where'd you get it? From your can in your room. And I was like, well, that's not yours, so put it back. So they get it. There's something about that cash money thing and jar. So maybe the jar thing can still work in my context because they get that. But maybe is there an innovative way today? That's my question that I'm thinking about.
I think that's a really good question. And I think that we do a disservice to the next generation when we don't teach them how to handle money physically. Yeah. And I know that there are going to be two or three different schools of thought on this, but from my experience, so when I grew up, obviously there was no, you had to pay everything. I mean, a check was like, wow, I got a mm-hmm. check. You know, everything was done with physical money. And I remember valuing money because I would count it out when I got my allowance or, you know, whatever, I was counting it out. It was physical. When I had to pay for something, I thought twice about using that money because I don't have it anymore. Like, it's mm-hmm. gone from my bank, like from my piggy bank or jar or whatever. And I think when we don't allow our children to physically touch the money, to physically understand, you know, when you give this to somebody, it's gone. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like there's more numbers in a bank account. And I think also for a teen who starts driving, it's really important to not just give them a credit card. I think it's really important for them to have cash in their hand when they pay mm-hmm. for gas, when mm-hmm. they start driving, because it is so easy to go, oh yeah, I'll drive you here, friend, or I'll drive you here, friend, or yeah, let's just go cruising for the night. And I've got a credit card. So you actually, there's no consequence to using all that gas.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't hurt. Like, there's mm-hmm. no hurt to it. But when you have to, you're given $50 for the month for gas from your parents, however that works, doesn't matter. But when you're given that $50 and that has to get you the whole month through on gas mm-hmm. and your friends go, hey, can you just drive me here? Can you drive me there? And you're like, I only have like $20 left on gas. No, I can't. It has to last me another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important lesson and a good valuable consequence mm-hmm. to understanding the importance of valuing money, not hoarding, not being greedy, not coveting it, but respecting it.
First, I would never give my child a credit card. I feel like that's a recipe for disaster.
It happens but so much.
I know it totally does. But I, you know what I look forward to one day? So I remember getting my bank account and getting my first money, paycheck, and putting it in there. And I really look forward to, like, whichever of my children are big spenders and have a debit card, and then, like, they go to pay for gas and, like, they get rejected. Like, I look forward to the day where, like, they're shopping or whatever, and they use their debit card and, like, it's rejected. I think that would be such a great teachable moment of, like, embarrassment, you know, needing rescue, and then money, right? Money management of, yeah. Oh, wait, I guess I don't have unlimited resources. I should probably open this bank account and make sure I know how much I have, at least semi-consistently. Of course, the flip side of that is, like, being over into money. Like, I know people who, like, check the bank account several times a day and are stressed about it. And there's mm-hmm. that side as well of, like, kids who don't pay attention. And then at some point there's kids who over stress about money, and either way it controls you. And we need to learn how to use money without it controlling us.
Yes, I agree. And And to remember to be generous, like the whole tithing, or because we've done an episode on tithing here on Only We Matter, and the importance of tithing and giving back, and understanding that what we are given is really not ours, you know, and we want a desire to give that back. And I think that was really important too, that she addressed, because we need to remember that it's not all for us. It's given to give.
Yeah, that's right. I was in a psalm I was reading this morning. So that's really awesome. Yeah, I think this will be really, really good stuff to jump back into with finances and to help, helps me to think again, how are we helping our kids? You know, we just cracked open our daughter's piggy banks because it's almost time to buy bikes for them. And so we're going to show them how they've saved money through whatever means they get money, however that happens. Old men in Walmart give them toonies. I don't know how that happens, but
really?
Yeah, it's bizarre. Anyway, so now we're taking that out and we're saying, okay, you guys want bikes? Let's use your money now to buy bikes. And so, that's it's a fun thing to do and to teach finances, and looking forward to that as a parent.
Yeah. And you know, just again, parenting is not for the faint of heart. Parenting is a really, really tough job, because it's not just about raising your kids. You're raising the next generation to teach those children or those people coming behind them, right? And yeah, so I think it's really important that we do our part. You guys do your part, because I've raised mine.
Totally. So where is this blog? Who are these people again?
Yes, I recommend the Not So Perfect Parents blog. And you can find them on Facebook, and they are they have their own website, thenotsoperfectparents.com. It's by Kimberly and Mark Barnes, and I would highly recommend you check it out. There's quite a few different articles. It's a well laid out website, and you're going to love it. I just know you will. And the more you read, the more you're going to fall in love with who Kimberly is, because I have.
Thanks for listening to Only We Matter. I'm Jacqueline.
I'm Brandon. You can find us on any podcast site and social media site mostly. So join the conversation.